قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. Say, O people of the scripture, لِمَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Why do you disbelieve in the verses of Allah? وَاللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ عَلَى مَا تَعْمَلُونَ. While Allah is a witness over whatever you do. يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. O people of the book, لِمَ تَكْفُرُونَ. لِمَ is a combination of لِ and مَا. لِ meaning for and مَا meaning what. So for what reason? And whenever لِمَ, they come together giving the meaning of استفهام, sometimes the مَا is abbreviated and the ألف is removed. So لِمَ, for what reason? What is the reason? Why تَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Why do you disbelieve in the آيات of Allah? Which آيات of Allah were the people of the book disbelieving in? With regards to the signs of the Prophet ﷺ. So they were denying the آيات of their own books, the آيات of their own scripture. How? That the signs of the Prophet ﷺ, they refused them. They hid them. They concealed them. They misinterpreted them. Or even when they knew of them, they didn't believe in the Prophet ﷺ. Because the fact that some of them did believe is an evidence that the others did not believe deliberately. The fact that Salman al-Farisi and Abdullah ibn Salam, they believed, it shows that the others disbelieved deliberately. It wasn't by mistake. So, ayat over here are referring to the ayat from their own books with regards to the Prophet ﷺ. And ayat over here can also refer to the commands which were in their books which they denied. For instance, we learned about the story of Ibn Surya. The command for zina was clear, but what did he do? Hid it. And the rest of the people also, they were trying to find another law, which is why they came to the Prophet ﷺ. Then the ayat also refers to the ayat of the Quran, because the Quran is also a revealed scripture, a revealed book. And when they disbelieved in the Prophet ﷺ, what did they do? They disbelieved in the Quran. So لِمَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Why do you disbelieve in the ayat of Allah? وَاللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ. While Allah is a witness. Shaheed is one who is present somewhere, one who observes something. Shaheed, shahid is who? One who is present somewhere and he watches, he sees, and he bears witness to what's happening, to what's going on. So it is as if to show that nothing of your actions is hidden from Allah. Nothing of your actions is hidden from Allah. You know, it could have also been said, Allah is alim, one who has ilm. But with shaheed, what is being emphasized is that everything that you're doing, he watches. Nothing of it is absent from him. Wallahu shaheedun ala ma ta'amaloon, over whatever you do. So over here, the people of the book, they're being reprimanded. That you know the ayat of Allah. You understand the ayat of Allah. You see the ayat of Allah. Still you disbelieve. Still you deny. Why are you doing that? Don't you realize that Allah is watching you? Don't you realize that Allah is seeing you? Allah is a witness over your actions. And Allah knows what you're doing. And He will recompense you accordingly in the hereafter. So don't you fear your hereafter? So it shows that if a person claims that he believes in Allah, if a person claims that he loves Allah, then he must prove so how? By obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By doing what Allah has commanded him to do. Many people, they say that, they believe that Allah is watching them. Correct? Or they claim that they love Allah. But still their actions are completely different. If you believe that Allah is watching you, if you believe that Allah knows what you're doing, then respect Allah. Have some respect for Allah. And do only what He is pleased with. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. Say, O people of the book, لِمَ تَصُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Why do you stop people from the way of Allah? لِمَ تَصُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Why do you stop from the way of Allah? Who are you stopping from the way of Allah? مَنْ آمَنَ. The one who believed. So one who believes in the ayat of Allah, whether it is the ayat of your scripture with regards to the Prophet ﷺ, and then he believes in the Prophet ﷺ, or man amana, he believes in the Quran, in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why do you stop him? Tasudduna is from the root letter sad dal dal, from the word sad. And what does sad mean? To stop. To stop who? Oneself or someone else? How? By putting a hurdle, by hindering someone from reaching their objective, from reaching their goal. And sad is generally used for stopping someone indirectly, stopping someone covertly, in a way that the other doesn't even realize, but he is stopped. Okay? One is that you go and tell somebody, don't do this. Right? And the other is that you don't give them a chance to do it. So the other person doesn't realize, like for instance children, they come to their parents, please I want to go here, or please I want to do this. What do the parents do? They distract them. So the children are stopped from doing what they want to do. How? Indirectly. So this is what sad is. And remember that a person can stop another from the way of Allah. And what is the way of Allah? Islam. Sabeelullah is what? Islam. The way that leads to the approval of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, the way that has been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person can stop another from the way of Allah in two ways. First of all, directly. How? That a person uses physical force and a person stops the other verbally. For instance, the people in Makkah, the Muslims in Makkah, physical force was used against them. Similarly, they were told verbally, very directly, that stop what you're doing, do shirk, right? Prostrate to the idols, don't become a believer. So one is to stop someone directly using physical force and also verbally stopping them. And secondly, it is to stop the other indirectly. Indirectly. How? Through such actions or such ways that scare the other people. For instance, if a person knows that if he becomes a Muslim, they are going to face a lot of challenges. They are going to face a lot of difficulties. From who? From those who are not Muslim. From their family. For instance, right? For instance, the person knows, a girl knows that if I put the hijab on, I'm going to hear a lot from my family, even though they're Muslim. Right? They're not telling her, don't put it on. But their reaction is stopping her. Correct? Their reaction is stopping her. So it is to stop someone indirectly. How? Through such actions that will frighten someone, that will scare someone, and they don't dare follow the way of Allah. They don't dare go on the way of Allah. Or sometimes it is such actions done by the Muslims that turn the other people away from Islam. For instance, a person is interested in becoming a Muslim. But when he sees a Muslim, that he is skipping his salah, he is lying, he is not honest at work, what is he going to think? That this is Islam. So the wrong actions of a Muslim, what did they do? They turned someone away from Islam. They stopped someone from coming to Islam. Similarly, sometimes it is false propaganda that stops people from coming to Islam. So basically we can divide this into two. One is to directly stop someone, either through actions, through physical force, or through verbal statements. And secondly, it is to indirectly stop someone. And when you stop someone indirectly, it could be someone from within Islam and someone from outside Islam as well. Because many times it is our own actions, it is our own behavior, it is our own character that turns people away from Islam. That doesn't let them come even near Islam. Let them even think about Islam. So over here the people of the book are being reprimanded that why do you stop people from the way of Allah? Why do you stop those people who have believed from the way of Allah? How were they stopping the Muslims from the way of Allah, from Islam? How? We learn that the Bani Israel or the Yahud, what did they do? They would come to the Muslims, or the people would come to them, the Mushrikeen for instance, they would come to them, and they would ask them, do you find Muhammad mentioned in your books? Do you find Muhammad mentioned in your scripture? And they say, maybe. Or they would say, yeah, maybe he is only for the Arabs but not for us. So giving such answers, giving such explanation For instance, we learn about the people of the book in the previous verses. We learned that they would tell their own people that don't listen to anyone except for the one who is of you. Meaning only listen to a Jew. Don't listen to a non-Jew. Similarly, some of them, they would go, they would accept Islam in the morning. And by the end of the day, they would leave Islam. So they would directly and also indirectly stop people from accepting Islam. Similarly, we see that some of them actually approach some of the companions, Mu'adh ibn Jamal, and they said, leave Islam. So they are being questioned, why are you stopping people from the way of Allah, those people who have believed? And تَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا, you seek it to be crooked. Meaning you seek the way of Allah to be crooked. You want the way of Allah to be crooked. تَبْغُونَ is from the root letters بَغَيْنَ, from the word بُغَى, which is to seek, to desire. And تَبْغُونَهَا, هَا over here refers to سَبِيل, meaning the way of Allah. So what does it mean by this? تَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. Let's look at the meaning of عِوَج first. عِوَج is from the root letters عَيْن وَوْجِين, and عِوَج is used for crookedness, for something that is bent, for something that has a twist in it, something that is crooked. One is عَوَج with a fatha on the عَيْن, and the other is عِوَج with a kasra under the عَيْن. What do you see over here? عِوَج, the second one, right? عَوَج is used for tangible crookedness. Okay? What is awaj used for? Tangible crookedness. For instance, there is a piece of wood or there is a pole and it is bent. It is crooked. Okay? And awaj is used for intangible crookedness. What does it mean by that? For instance, someone does not think straight in the sense that in their mentality, in their thinking, they're not rightly guided. They're very negative. Anything you say to them, they always look at the negative side. Okay? So one is tangible crookedness and the other is intangible crookedness. Tangible crookedness, it's clear. Intangible, in someone's thinking, in someone's understanding, in someone's statements, in someone's behavior, in someone's actions. So تَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا, you seek it to be crooked. What does it mean by this? That you want that those people who are on the sabil of Allah, those people who are on the way of Allah, you want them to become crooked. Meaning you want them to leave their Islam and go towards dhalal. So تَبْغُونَهَا, ha refers to its ahl, the people of the sabilullah, the people of the way of Allah. You want them to become crooked. That they're going right, they're upon Islam, you want them to turn away from Islam, become crooked, become deviated, and head towards dalal, towards misguidance, which is why you are tasudduna an sabilillah, which is why you're stopping people from the way of Allah. And secondly, tabghunaha iwajan is understood as that you present the deen of Allah as crooked. You present the deen of Allah as something that does not make sense, as that which is deviated, as that which is false. How did they do it? By creating doubts in the people. When the people would come and ask them, is this prophet true? Do you really find him in your book? They would say, yes we do, however he's only for the Arabs. Similarly, they would accept Islam at the morning and leave it by the end of the day, creating doubts in the hearts of people. Negative propaganda. Negative propaganda. Bringing up objections. In all of these verses, what have we seen? That the Bani Israel, they would come up to the Prophet ﷺ with so many objections, and these ayat were revealed then. But how come you say that you're a prophet when your Sharia is different? Well, the fact is that the Sharia was different each time a new prophet came, each time a new messenger came. Similarly, they said that no, the first house was the one at Jerusalem, therefore, where you go, this is not really the house of Allah. But the fact is that it was created by Ibrahim ﷺ much before the house of Jerusalem. It was created first by Adam, before him, by the angels. Right? So all of these objections that they were coming up with, all of this false propaganda, why were they doing this? To present the deen of Allah as deviated. To present the deen of Allah as false. Similarly, they would misinterpret the verses of the book. They would change the meaning, alter the meaning of the book. Why? So that when the deen is presented as something that does not make sense, automatically people are going to be turned away. People are not going to come to Islam. So they're being reprimanded that why do you stop people from the way of Allah? تَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا, seeking the deen to be crooked. وَأَنْتُمْ شُهَدَاء, while you are witnesses. Shuhada is the plural of shaheed. What does it mean by this? You are witnesses. Meaning you yourself are witnesses to the truth of Islam, to the correctness of Islam, to the uprightness of Islam. And you know that the only religion acceptable to Allah is submission to Allah, Islam. So you yourself are witnesses, yet this is what you're doing. You're denying, you're stopping people, you're presenting the deen as iwaj. Similarly, wa antum shuhada has been understood as that you are shuhada, and shaheed or shahid is used for someone who uses his intellect. Okay? Because if you look at it, a witness cannot be someone who is insane. Okay? A witness cannot be a young child. Correct? Someone who has aql, someone who has reason, someone who uses their mind, someone who is alert, someone who is sharp. So wa antum shuhada, you yourselves are knowledgeable people. You are supposed to be intelligent people. You are supposed to be those people who have some knowledge, have some sense. What are you doing? You're supposed to be telling people to believe, and you yourself are disbelieving. You're supposed to be encouraging people to accept Islam, and you are presenting Islam to be deviated. Wa antum shuhada. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, and Allah is not at all unaware or heedless about what you do. Who is ghafil? Someone who is negligent, someone who is heedless, someone who is in ghafla, doesn't know, doesn't care. So just because Allah is not punishing you immediately, it doesn't mean that He doesn't know, it doesn't mean that He doesn't care. Allah is not at all unaware of what you do. What were they doing? What are their crimes that are mentioned in these verses? First of all, kufr. Kufr of the ayat of Allah. Secondly, what does the ayah say? Tasudduna an sabilillah, sad an sabilillah, stopping people from the way of Allah. Thirdly, tabghunaha iwajan, seeking or presenting the deen as iwaj. So all of these crimes that you're doing, of kufr and takdeeb, of denial, all of these are very well known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we see over here that the people of the book are being reprimanded for their behavior towards Islam. They are being reprimanded for their behavior towards Islam. Now one could say that if they don't believe, just leave them. Huh? Like the mushrikeen, if they didn't believe, just leave them. People of the book, if they don't believe, leave them. What's the big deal? Right? You might wonder, so many verses. First we read in Surah Al-Baqarah. Now again in Surah Ali Imran, that you know, still you disbelieve. You see the truth, still you disbelieve. And any objection they came up with, an answer was given, a refutation was given. What's the big deal? Why are they being left alone? They were the people of the book. They were the Muslims of their time. The Prophet ﷺ came, they disbelieved. So if they're not believing, leave them. They were the religious leaders. They were the knowledgeable people. And it doesn't suit someone who is knowledgeable, someone who is in a position of leadership, to behave in such a way. Because his wrong action is not just going to affect him, but it is also going to affect other people. Because other people are going to follow him in what he has done. In Surah Al-Baqarah, we learned, وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ. Don't be the first disbeliever in it. Don't be the first to disbelieve. Meaning, do not initiate the kufr. Do not be the first ones to disbelieve, because when you do it, other people are going to follow you. And they're not just going to follow you in your time, but they're going to follow you for years and years, generations and generations, centuries, even till today. So, over here they're being reprimanded. Why? Because their denial, especially those people who were residing in Medina, was a big deal. Because it was not just going to affect them, but it was also going to affect other people. And it was going to make Islam as doubtful to people. That if they did not believe, that means there must be something wrong. What does Allah say? That Allah is not unaware of what you do. That do not think that you will get away by deceiving people. Do not think that you will be left alone. No, you will be held accountable. And we see that such efforts are even made today. Which efforts? To stop people from the way of Allah, presenting the deen as crooked, presenting the deen as deviated, as something that doesn't make sense. People come up and they find faults. They object at the deen of Allah, as if there's nothing else left to object at, nothing else left to find faults in. There's so many laws out there, so many nations out there who have their laws, but why is it that every place attacks the Prophet of Islam and attacks the law of Islam? Is this the only thing left? So this thing is even done today. So over here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah is aware, fully aware of the actions of such people. He is not at all unaware. He is not at all negligent. Recitation.
قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ عَلَى مَا تَعْمَلُونَ قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ تَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا وَأَنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءُ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ.
So in these verses we have learned, the past few verses that we have learned, that the Bani Israel, especially the Ahlul Kitab, not just the Jews, but the Christians as well, they were being invited to Islam. In Surah Al-Baqarah we learned that the Bani Israel, the Jews especially, they were invited to Islam. All of their questions, all of their concerns, all of their objections, they were answered. They were responded to. And over here in this surah, it was a combination of the objections of the Christians as well as those of the Jews. They were responded to. And then, finally, at the end, they were also reprimanded. That why should you disbelieve? Why are you disbelieving? And you should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to your kufr.